Today's daf is daf Kevav, and it deals with the topic of kidnapping. The Perek began with a list of sins that carry with it the penalty of death by choking. One of them was a child who wounds his father. That was a discussion for the last 2 days. And one is someone who violates the Ten Commandments, where the Torah mandates lo tignov, which means not don't steal property, but don't steal a life. Don't kidnap and then, sell as a slave. I guess the kidnapping then was to take a child who was basically weak, take him away from his parents, use him, and then sell him off as a slave. Says the Mishnah, Hagonev Nefesh Yisrael, someone who steals a soul of Israel, Eino Chayev Achiach Nisenu L'Rishuto. He's only guilty once he takes the person out of the person's own domain and brings him into his domain. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Achiach Nisenu L'Rishuto V'Yishtamish Bo. He has to take him out of that person's domain, bring him into his domain, and actually use him. Shenam Avis Amerbo, as the verse says, and he will abuse him. Umacharo, and then sell him. What about Agonav Es Beno, someone who kidnaps his own son? He takes his son, uses the son, and then he sells the son. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher of Yochman Broka Machayev. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Yochman Broka, says he's now guilty of kidnapping. He gets killed by choking. But the sage is exempt based on a verse. Let's say you have a slave who's owned by two partners. One partner frees his share. So now this person is a half slave, half freedman. So someone who steals, kidnaps a half freed, half slave man. Rabbi Yehuda Machayev. Rabbi Yehuda says that he is guilty. But the Chachamim say he is exempt. Says the Gemara, V'tana kama lo bai imor. Is it only Rabbi Yehuda who requires that the kidnapper use his victim? V'tana kama doesn't need that. Samar v'achav rava imor parchas mishava pruti gabaynayu. The question is, what happens if he uses the person that he kidnapped, but it was worth less than a pruta? So according to the Tanakh.
Price on
there's a price on how much the benefit was, what the usage
was. Slavery, wasn't that a kidnapping, a form of kidnapping?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but they had it there, so all of them, they should have been punished then, those days, didn't they?
Maybe.
All had the slaves.
Most
of them.
I'm not sure they would buy those slaves. They had maybe slaves that were
back and forth and
that were not kidnapped. Slaves. Maybe those were not the people they were buying. So, again, they were buying maybe people who were conquered in wars, but not people who were kidnapped like this, the way the people from Africa were kidnapped. So, again, according to the Tanakhama, he's guilty and deserves death, even if the usage of the victim was worth less than a pruta. And according to Yehuda, it has to be a usage that's prominent, imur, of a pruta. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya asked the following question. Navo Macharo Yashin Mahu. What happens if somebody steals someone and sells that person that he stole while that person was sleeping the whole time? Or Machar Isha La'ab Lu'ubra Mahu. A man kidnapped a woman who was pregnant and he didn't sell the woman, he sold the fetus. The question is, Yesh Derech Imur Bekach, in these situations, is this considered having used the person? O Ein Derech Imur Bekach, or is that not considered having used the person? So what do you mean? The typically the Lekha Imur Klal. In both of these cases, there's a kidnapping and a sale, but there's no usage of the victim. So the Gemara says, no, there is usage. Lo Tzvicha Yashin De Zagale. When a person steals someone who's sleeping, he stole the sleeping person, then he leaned on the sleeping person, so he got some usage from the sleeping person. And Isha, when he stole the pregnant woman, He made her stand in front of a wind in order to shelter from a wind. So the question now is, Derech Imur Bekach, is this considered a way, a normal way of usage? Or Ein Derech Imur Bekach, or maybe it's not considered a normal way of usage, and maybe therefore it's not considered something which could be guilty for kidnapping, take it, we don't know. Tanar Rabbanan Lidin Abraisa, the verse says in Parshas Ki Seitzei, Ki Matzei Ish Gonev Nefesh Me Echav Mibnei Yisrael, when there will be found a man who steals a soul from his brethren, from the children of Israel, V'yis Amerbo, and he will use that victim, U'mecharo, and sell the victim, U'mei Saganavahu, let that thief die, U'v'yarta Harami Kirbecha, and uproot the evil from your midst. So, Tanah Rabbanan Lidin Abraisa, Ki Matzei Ish Gonev Nefesh Me Echav, and the Ela Ishaganov. So that verse would imply maybe only a man who kidnaps. Ishaminai. I don't know if a woman kidnaps, she's also just as guilty. Tamaloma, that's what the verse says. The Gonev Ish. If a man will be found. The Gonev Ish is a different pasuk back in Parshas Mishpatim, where the Torah says, V'gonev ish macharov v'nimtzav yado, most you must. It says, anyone who steals a man, implying even a woman too. So, Tamalom of a gonev ish. Ein li'elo isha ganav, bein isha, u bein ish, v'isha shagan v'ish. So maybe I would say a man is guilty if he kidnaps a man or a woman, because it says here, ki matzei ish gonev nefesh, when a man is found who steals a soul. But, isha shagan v'isha minayin, maybe a woman is only guilty when she steals a man, as it says, the gonev, one who steals ish, a man. How do we know a woman who steals a woman is also problematic? Tamal Omar, that's what the pasuk says. In the verse, the gonev ish mecharo, it says there, v'nimtzav yado mos yumas. But going back to Parshas Ki Seitzei, it says, ki matzei ish gonev nefesh me'achav b'bnei yisrael v'samer bo mecharo, u'meis haganav ahu. Right? It could have just said, if a man steals a soul, he will die. Why does it say, u'meis haganav ahu? That thief will die. But the fact that it says that thief, Mikol Makom, to include all the different types of thieves, even a woman kidnapping a woman.
So Rabbi, all the punishment for that is choking?
Choking, exactly.
Rabbi, is it a bigger punishment for using or abusing, or is it the same?
No, the it's talking about kidnapping, where somebody steals, uses, and sells.
I know, but using and...
without selling?
Yeah, you know, if somebody uses somebody or abuses somebody, is it the same punishment?
No. Only this. Not if he didn't sell him, it's not the same. Tanya, Idach, we learned in a brisa. In another brisa. The verse says, in Ki Seitzei, Ki Matzei Ish Gonev Nefesh Me'echav, when there will be found a man who steals a soul from his brethren. So that tells me echad agonev esa ish, echad agonev esa isha, whether he steals a male or he steals a woman. Because it talks about gonev nefesh, he steals a soul. V'echad ger, v'echad eva meshuchra, or if he steals a convert or he steals a freed slave. V'katan or a child, chayev, he is guilty. Ganvo v'lo machro, what happens if he steals someone but he doesn't sell that victim? Or machro, he stole the sold the victim, by dying yeshno birshuso. But the victim stays in his domain.
What about the case of the father? He doesn't steal him.
You mean in the Mishnah?
Yeah,
so we'll get to that. So Ganva Velo Machro, let's say he stole him, but he's still in the domain of the victim, because the victim was never taken into his domain. Potter, he's not going to be put to death. Machro le'aviv o le'achav o le'achav ben akrovim. Let's say he sold the victim to the victim's father. Chayav, or the victim's relative. And he is guilty. Hagoni v'esavadim, if somebody steals slaves, pater, then he doesn't get the death penalty, because the Torah speaks about goniv nefesh me'achav, stealing a soul from the brethren.
When you say pater, I mean, he stole somebody.
Mm-hmm.
What about that?
Yeah, so it's a prohibition. We'll see. You may not be able to get lashes for it, because we have a rule that any lav, any prohibition that could end up as a death penalty, you don't get lashes for. But it's a prohibition. It's a lav. He would lose his ability to be a witness.
You can chop somebody, say, pop, 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 sir.
Yeah. Tani Tana Kamedri Rav Sheshes. There was a Tana who taught Brysos, and he said in front of Rav Sheshes, he said over a Brysa. He said this Brysa, that if you sell the victim to the victim's own relatives, then he is, in fact, guilty, and he gets the death penalty. Amar Leis, Rav Sheshes said back to him, Anishona, my version of the Brysa is like this. Rabbi Shimon says, the verse says, Ki matzi ish konev nefesh me'echav. When a man is found stealing a soul from his brothers, so Rabbi Shimon Omer me'echav, he has to steal it from the brothers. Ad sheyotzeinu mirshus echav, he has to take the soul away from the domain of his brothers. But if he leaves the soul in the domain of his brothers, he's exempt. V'atamar tochayiv, and you're saying that he's guilty even when he sells the victim to the victim's brother. He hasn't taken him away from the brothers. Tani, change your version. Say pater. Say, if he sells him to the brothers of the victim, then the kidnapper is, as David said, Patra Avalasur, he's not put to death for it. So the Gemara says, one second, my Kushi, what was the question? Maybe this price is not the view of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara answers, Lo Salka Daitach. Rav Sheshes was sure that it's Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because this price is explaining a verse in Parshas Ki Seitzei. It's a verse in the book of Dvarim. And we know that all the explanations of verses in the books of Dvarim and Bamidbar were put together in a book called the Sifri. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Stam Masnisin Rabbi Meir. When you have a Mishnah which doesn't say who the author is, it's Rabbi Meir. Stam Tosefta, when you have a Tosefta that doesn't say who the author is, it's Rabbi Nechemya. Stam Sifra, when you have a Braisa from the book of Vayikra explaining it with Halacha, explaining verses from Vayikra with Halacha, that's Rabbi Yehuda. And Stam Sifri, when you have a Braisa explaining a verse in Bamidbar or Dvarim, it's Rabbi Shimon. So it has to be Rabbi Shimon. The Kula Libid Rabbi Akiva. And all these Stamot, all these situations, all these lessons without attribution, which either come from Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, or Rabbi Nechemya, these are all students of Rabbi Akiva. They're all following the view of Rabbi Akiva.
Kidnap somebody, it saves somebody from, you know, being killed, and go pay off ransom and buy that person, and go give it to the family of that person. But he wants his money back.
Okay.
That he laid out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that selling?
No, that's not selling.
Is that considered the same thing?
It's pidyon shvuyim. That's redeeming a captive. That's a big mitzvah.
So when he gets the money from his family, the money that he laid out, that's not it.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the same thing.
It wouldn't be the same. Right.
Then the Mishnah speaks about what Fred brought up, Hagonev es beno, a person who steals his son. So Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, says he's guilty of death. Chacham say not. My time is Rabbanah. What's the reasoning of the Rabbanah? So it's a pasuk. Amar Abai answered them. Because the pasuk says, Ki matse, when there will be found a man who steals a soul from his brethren, Pratle Matsui, that is excluding someone who's already found in his domain. That's exactly the point that Fred made, that if it's his son, he didn't really kidnap his son. His son already was always in his domain.
Could it exist cases he goes to school and kidnaps his son?
Okay, maybe that's still considered in his domain because the son is still... Right, maybe if he doesn't have custody, it would be different. That's right. Amalir of Papa Abai. If Papa said to Abai, Elamayat, if this is the case, when the Pasuk said that Ki Matzei excludes that which is in the domain, what about a verse about marital infidelity? The Torah says, Ki Matzei Ishochevi Mishabu Las Baal, when there will be found a man who sleeps with a woman who is fully married, so they get choked. So Hachanam is going to say here too, Ki Matzei, when there will be found Pratla Matsui, to exclude that which is already found. Kagon Shel Beis Ploni, there was a certain house which had a lot of families living together. The Shichan Gabayhu, where the wives and the husbands are all living in the same house. So Achanami de Ptir are going to say that a husband in that house who sleeps around with wives of other husbands is exempt. Amalei, so he said to him, no, Anam even nimtza biyado kamina. My derivation is not from the words ki matzei, but rather it's from other words. It's from the words v'nimtza biyado, where it says v'gone v'ishim v'charo v'nimtza biyado mosimas. It will be found in his hands. He gets put to death. V'nimtza v'yado is extra to say that excluding that which is already always in the hands, always found in his hands. Amar Rav, Rava said Hilkach, therefore, Hani Miyakri Dardiki, these individuals who teach children, Umasnu Rabbanan, or those who teach Mishnayos, who steal one of their students, Kimetsuim Biyadan Dami. So that's already, they're already in their hands, these students. And therefore, Uptiri, they wouldn't be put to death as kidnappers. If somebody steals someone who's a half slave, half freed man, Rabbi Yehuda says he's guilty, he deserves death, and Chachamim say he is exempt. It's not us, we looked at a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein la'avadim boshas. If a person humiliates a slave who is an Eved Kanani, there is no payment of for humiliation. My time, Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason, Rabbi Yehuda? Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says about the whole concept of paying for humiliation. Remember, the Torah uses very dramatic imagery. Two people are fighting, and a woman comes and she puts her hand out and grabs the testicles of one of them, so cut off her hand, which is really, doesn't mean it literally, it means pay, she needs to pay for the humiliation. So the Torah there says, Ki inatsu anashim yachtam, when two people are fighting together, ish ve'achiv, a man with his brother. So that's to say that this whole law of paying for humiliation applies when it's with brothers, mishi yesh lo achva. Those who have the sense of brotherhood, who have family, that's evet, to exclude a slave, she'en lo achva, that doesn't have brotherhood. Rabbanan will say, no, a slave is also a brother, because achav ube mitzvos, because slaves have to do some of the mitzvos. He's your brother with mitzvos. Okay, so that's in regards to humiliation. V'hacha echidarish. How do you interpret the verses here in regards to kidnapping? If you discover, Rita says the verse says, ki yimatzi ishko nev nefesh me echav. A man will be found who steals a soul from his brothers, lafuki avadim, to exclude slaves. Then it goes on to say, the gonev ish, kimatzi ish gonev nefesh me'achav mi bnei Yisrael, from the children of Israel. When it says bnei Yisrael, it has to be fully a Jew. It's already said a Jew, because it can't be an Eved. So why was it added by bnei Yisrael? To exclude someone who's even partially a Jew, who's a half slave and half freedman. But then there's an extra letter, mi bnei Yisrael, from the children of Israel, to exclude again. So one second, we've excluded the half slave, half freedman twice. There are two verses to say he's not included in the law of kidnapping. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, "In miyud acham miyud el rabos." Once you have two exclusions, it's actually to include. It's to say that a half slave, half freed man is included in the laws of kidnapping.
Rabbi.
One second, Rabbanu will tell you, no. Me'echav, the verse says, he has to, a man who steals one of a soul from his brethren. La'afuki avadim lo mashmuhu. They don't think that that implies to exclude slaves. Ta'achivu b'mitzvos. So therefore, because a slave has to do mitzvahs like everybody else, like a woman at least. So therefore, they say like this. The verse that said, Bnei Yisrael, that would have excluded slaves. When it says, Mi Bnei Yisrael, it's to exclude a half slave. So you just have one verse excluding a half slave. So therefore, the half slave doesn't have the law of kidnapping. So Mi Bnei Yisrael, Chad Lemute Eved, one is to exclude a slave from kidnapping. So now we have an explanation for why there was an argument in the Mishnah whether if somebody steals a half slave and uses him and sells him, he is guilty with the death penalty. The question is how to interpret the verses. Do you say that there are two verses saying that a half slave is out of the rule of kidnapping? So then ultimately he is in the rule of kidnapping. Or do you say there's only one verse to exclude a half slave? So then a half-slave is left out of the rule of kidnapping. A question?
Yeah, Rabbi, did I hear it correctly? If a teacher sells one of his students,
steals
he's
one
exempt?
Of, right, because it was already in his domain.
Doesn't make sense, Rabbi.
Right, he didn't take someone out of his domain. Somebody was already in his domain, and then he sold him off.
But the classroom is not his domain. He happens to be there.
Sounds like a little
bit. It's not his house. It's not his.
No, he's probably living there, right?
Yes.
The rabbi take it,
probably. I'm not taking anybody. Don't worry.
It doesn't make sense.
But in general, we always find that they interpreted verses to find ways to let people off the hook. Yitzilu Eda. They knew that God was going to punish people.
You could sell one of us and you don't get punished?
I wouldn't be punished, maybe.
I don't know.
Stealing always constitutes taking something out of its domain?
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Taking it from that domain and putting it into your domain. Holding on to something.
No,
one second. David has a question.
Can you repeat the two views about the half a slave?
Right, because the verse says, if someone steals a soul from his brothers, from the children of Israel. So the question is, how do we read that? Is it that from their brothers excludes a slave? Then when it would have said children of Israel, would have excluded a half slave. And when it says from the children of Israel, it's again excluding a half slave. So when you have two exclusions of one idea, it's actually to include. The double negative is a positive. So is it including a half slave? Or maybe we say not. That really, it's not two exclusions of a half slave. There's only one exclusion of a half slave. Because when it says brothers, it would include a slave. Because a slave also has to do some mitzvahs. When it says children of Israel, excludes a slave. When it says from the children of Israel, it excludes a half-slave. So then it's just one verse to exclude a half-slave. So a half-slave is left out.
Are these slaves we're talking about are Jewish slaves?
Non-Jewish slaves.
Non-Jewish, okay.
Okay, Azhara Lagonev Nefesh Minayin. Where's the warning? Where's the prohibition? Right here, these are all about the punishment. But where's the prohibition to kidnap? Rabbi Yoshi, Amar Rabbi Yoshi says, Lo Tignov, it's the Ten Commandments. Rabbi Yochanan says it's from a different verse, where the verse says that in Parshas Bahar, the Jews are my slaves, lo yimkru mimkares aved. They shouldn't be sold with the sale of a slave. Lo pliki, it's not really a contradiction. Marka chashav lav de gneva. One is talking about a prohibition of stealing, of kidnapping, or marka chashav lav de mechira. One is talking about the prohibition of selling.
The signal is kidnapping, so what's stealing?
Stealing money, what's the pasuk for stealing money? We're going to see that in a second. Lo tignovu, a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Tana Rabbanu Lindin Abraisa, Lo tignovu, in the Ten Commandments, it says don't steal. That means begon in the fashos hakasav adarba. That's saying don't kidnap. Atam begon in the fashos, you're telling me it means kidnapping. Oeno elo begon if mamon, maybe it means somebody steals money. Amrit, so figure it out. Say ulamad, go and learn. Mishalosh esrei midos shatar to dreshes man. From the 13 attributes of how to interpret the Torah. One of them is Davar Alameid, Me'inyano. You can learn a matter from its context. So, Bamei, Akasa Medaber, what is the context? In the Ten Commandments, Benefashos, it talks about capital crimes. It starts with Lo Tirtzach, don't murder. That's a capital crime. Lo Tinaf, don't commit adultery. That's a capital crime. So, Avkan Benefashos, so too, Lo Tiknov is a capital crime. That's kidnapping, not stealing money. Tanya, we did another brisa to address Fred's question. When the Torah says "Lo tignovu," don't steal. Parshas Kedoshim, "Lo tignovu, lo sechachshiv, lo sechakri ishbamiso." Lo tignovu. That's begonev mamon akasav adarba. That's saying don't steal money. Atom begonev mamon. You're saying that verse means don't steal money. Oeinu elu begonev nefashos. Maybe that verse means don't steal a life. Don't kidnap. Amrit, so figure it out again. Say ulamad, Shatorin, go look at the context. Davar alamin miinyano. You derive something from its context. Bamei akasam edabra. When the Torah says lo signovu, and then it says lo sechachashu. Don't deny that you owe something. That's b'mamon. That's talking about just a crime of money. Afkan b'mamon. So to lo signovu is a crime of money. So now we get into another topic, and that is the topic of chatzi davar. Itmar, we learned. Ede gnevav, ede mechira. Let's say there are two sets of witnesses. One set of witnesses says that Yaakov stole Reuven. The second set of witnesses say Yaakov sold Reuven. Benefesh. They're both talking about a soul being kidnapped and sold. Shehuzmu, and now all four witnesses are turned into Edom's Omen. People's other witnesses come and say, you were with us at the times that you claimed you saw what you saw. Chizkiah Amar Ein Neharagin. Chizkiah said, these witnesses don't get killed. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Neharagin. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, now that they've been turned into Edom's Omen, they were trying to kill someone, so they get killed. Chizkiah Yamar Rabbi Akiva. Chizkiah's logic is based on the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So Amar, the Torah said, Rabbi Akiva says, the verse says, Davar, the verse says, Al pi shnayim edim yakum davar. Based on two witnesses, a matter will be established. Therefore, velo chatzi davar, not testimony that only is doing half of a matter, doesn't fully establish the matter. So these witnesses, each is only doing half of the matter. One spoke about the theft, the stealing of the person. One spoke about the selling of the person. Neither would have been a death penalty on its own. So therefore, if they are huzmu, they don't get killed. Rabbanan say that even testimony on half of a matter also creates an obligation.
Is that like wrong testifying half of the matter? Is that the same thing? Is that what you're saying, Rabbi?
No, because what they said is only half of the issue. It's not the full story. They had needed the other two to finish the story.
So they deserve to die because of that?
They don't deserve to die. They didn't give a full testimony.
Oh, okay.
However, Moda Chizkiah would agree, though, in a case of Ben Sora Mora. Remember, Ben Sora Mora, it's also two sets of testimony. There's first the testimony that he stole from his parents and he used the money to go buy meat and drink wine. Then a second set of testimony, they did it a second time. So when it comes to the Chizkiah would agree, Be'edim Achronim Shel Ben Sora Mora, the second set of witnesses in a Ben Sora Mora, Shehuzmu, that if they turn out to be Edim Zomim, Shenehragim, that they get killed. Why don't we say that they only said half of a matter? No. Mitok Shecholim Lomar HaRishonim, because the first witnesses can say, now turning to Pei Vavim Beis, Lal Kosobanu, we came to convict him, to show that he needs lashes. And that was our testimony, that he gets lashes. So now the second set of witnesses, so we did a whole thing, and now the second set of witnesses, also Kule Davar Chavdile, they're doing a whole thing to get him killed. Maskefler Rav Papa, Sir Rav Papa challenged this, if that's the case, if that logic is true, Edimachira Nami Liktule, when you have two sets of witnesses in the case of kidnapping. One to say that there was a theft. The other to say that there was a sale. Those that say that there's a sale are saying a whole matter. Because the first set came to convict him of a crime of stealing, of lo tignov, and as a result that he's getting lashes. So they tell the whole story of lashes. Now the second set are saying a whole story of death. If you're going to say Kasavar Chizkiah the low lucky, if you're going to say Chizkiah holds up the first set, who testifies that a man stole somebody else, that man's not going to get lashes because it's testimony that could end up becoming a death penalty. Vaitmar, but we learned Eidei Gneiva B'Nefesh, witnesses who just say that somebody's kidnapped someone, Shehuzmu, and those witnesses who spoke about the kidnapping, but they didn't speak about the sale. They turn out to be false witnesses. There's an argument again between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. Chadam are lokin, one says they get lashes, but Chadam are ain't lokin. Ramina, we said in the yeshiva, this time we can prove to you the Chizkiah da Amar lokin. Chizkiah is the one who says that the witnesses get lashes. Why? Midamar Chizkiah, since Chizkiah says, ain't heragin, that if these witnesses would be turned into false witnesses, they wouldn't get killed for it. So that means it's not a lav shenitin lazharas misas bezdin. Dear Yochanan, because if you're going to say it's Rabbi Yochanan, came with Amar Neharag, since he says that the witnesses, if they're turned into false witnesses, would be killed. Havalei, so it turns out that these witnesses, when they say that there was a theft, it's a lav shenitin lazharas misas bezdin. They're doing something. They're saying that it was theft. That's a prohibition that could become a death penalty. Kol lav shenitin lazharas misas bezdin ein lokin alav. So whenever there is a prohibition that could become a death penalty, there is no lashes. So now, so you see from this that according to Chizkiah, someone who kidnaps gets lashes. So therefore, ihu lo lucky, right? Because if the guy who kidnapped himself wouldn't get lashes, anyway, he lucky. How are the witnesses who testify that he kidnapped going to get lashes? Ella Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa said like this, that, not like you said, according to Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan, not like what you said. They're arguing both in regards to the witnesses of the theft and in regards to the witnesses of the sale. Not like what we said. We said that they argued about both. It's wrong. No, in the witnesses who come and say there was a sale, and then other witnesses come and say that they lied and they were with us. So those witnesses certainly get put to death because they are talking about a whole matter of trying to kill this guy. Keep pligi, the argument would be about Be'edei Geneva, about the witnesses of the theft. Chizkiah Amar Einan Haragim. Chizkiah would say that they don't get killed because Geneva Lechuda Kaima, the testimony that there was a theft of a person, that stands on its own, and therefore it's a crime with lashes. Umechira Lechuda Kaima, and the sale stands on its own. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar Haragim, Rabbi Yochanan says they do get put to death, because he holds Kneva Atchalta de Mechirahi. The kidnapping is the beginning of the sale, and it's all one act. Added Rav Papa, Modu Rabbi Yochanan Be'edim Arishonim Shol Ben Sora Mora. Rav Papa said Rabbi Yochanan would agree about the first witnesses who come and say that the Ben Sora Mora stole. Shehuzmu, that if they were made into false witnesses, She'ei Neheragin, they do not get put to death. Because they can say, we're not trying to make him killed. We were just trying to get him lashes. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Hakol Modim Ben Sora Mora. There's a case of Ben Sora Mora where everybody agrees. Hakol Modim Ben Sora Mora. There's another case where they all agree. And Machlokus Ben Sora Mora. They could argue in a case of Ben Sora Mora. Hakol Modim Ben Sora Mora. Be'edim Arishonim. She'ein Eragim Etoch Shichol Lom Alav Kosobana. The first witnesses who say that they saw him steal from his father the first time, they're not going to be killed if they get turned into false witnesses because they can claim they were just trying to get the boy lashes. Hakol Modim Ben Sora Mora. Be'edim Achronim. She'ein Eragim. Everybody agrees that if the second set of witnesses about the Ben Sora Mora are turned into Edim Zomim, they get killed. Because the first witnesses can say we were just trying to get him lashes. So these second witnesses did a whole thing. And machlokus with Ben Sora Mora, there would be an argument by the Ben Sora Mora. Shnayim om b'faneinu ganav, shnayim om b'faneinu achal. Two witnesses say that we saw him steal, and the other two witnesses say we saw him eat that which he, you know, we saw him eat the stuff with the money that he bought with the money that he stole. So there you have the argument. So one holds that it's only half a matter, and one holds even on half a matter you can be punished as Edim Zomim, as false witnesses. That's right, as lying witnesses. Rabbi Hananya.